You're listening to the Down the Line with Jeremy Klein podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Down the Line with Jeremy Klein podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Klein. Slowly but surely getting this thing cooking. We are on episode number 2. Thanks for tuning in to the first episode with WKOW's Alec Osmus. And we are getting this podcast not only on Anchor, but you can also find this podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and someplace called Breaker. So we are slowly but surely getting to the big times here. If you are new to this podcast, we're really talking to sports broadcasters and listening to their journeys and figuring out how they got to where they are today, hearing about why they wanted to get into sports broadcasting. And I can't think of anybody else who's got a better story of getting into sports broadcasting than my guest today, Bobby Bolig, the sports reporter from the Liberty Flame Sports Network. Hey, Bobby.
How you doing, Jeremy?
Not too bad. I'm sure you've got a little bit of better weather than what I do out in Virginia, probably.
Yeah, we're golfing. We're golfing out here already.
Oh, my goodness.
On the East Coast, 50 today, so
feeling good. 60 or 50, did you say?
It was 50, but I'll tell you, it'll go to 65, and I'll drop to 30, so
it's an
emotional roller coaster out here weather-wise.
I was happy. I was out in shorts the other day in 35-degree weather up here. I'm just happy that the sun is actually out, so some different weather up here in North Dakota, Minnesota area, which you are originally from the Minnesota area. Both went to St. Cloud State. One of the big things that I wanted to show people on this podcast is that there are so many different ways to get to where you want to get to in sports broadcasting, whether it be on air, off air. There is no one cookie cutter way of getting on air in the professional setting. And I know you have a fantastic story, but I want you to enlighten our listeners. First off, when you knew that you wanted to be a sports broadcaster? I know I was talking with Alec Osmus in the last episode, and he was saying it wasn't when he was 3 holding a hairbrush microphone and pretending to be on camera. So when did you kind of start thinking, hey, this was something that I wanted to do?
You know, I think, thinking back, when I agree with Alex, it wasn't when I was 3 or 5. I think it was when I was a sophomore. It was our basketball tournament at St. Cloud State, actually, and our news reporter, Tom Elliott, interviewed me, and I thought, what a cool job that would be. And the more I watched ESPN, I thought, oh, that would be a dream job. And my thing was, I always wanted to play sports in college, so I never thought too much of, you know, the second half, the school part, unfortunately. So I always wanted to, you know, see how long I could play sports out for. And, I ended up in a radio gig first out in Mankato, and then, you know, found my way back to the TV side. But, you know, I love sports so much, and they have so many great stories to tell. I wanted to find ultimately the answer. I wanted to find a job somewhere in sports.
Played golf at Mankato, I believe, if I remember right.
Yes, that is. I couldn't decide if I wanted to play basketball or golf, but, you know, decided to go the golf route, got out of St. Cloud. I went there for high school and, you know, went to Mankato, played there for 3 years. It was an awesome experience. You know, we had a great team, had an 80-year-old coach leading the pack, so we had some good memories.
Describe to me what it's like being a college athlete. I know everybody, you kind of have the here, especially being a sports broadcaster covering college athletes, you get to kind of see a little bit more into their lives, but what is it like being a college athlete?
Yeah, you know, I would use the word demanding. I mean, your schedule is packed from, honestly, Sunday until, you know, the next Sunday, especially when you're traveling for golf. It's a split season, so it's fall and spring. And we'll leave normally on a Thursday, don't get back until late Sunday night, and then we'll do it again the next 6 weeks. So, you know, it's packed with practice. Obviously, 18 holes takes about 3.5 hours if you play quick. So, you know, it's so time-consuming, but a lot of benefits. You learn how to, you know, plan your schedule. You learn how to get things done accordingly. You can't sleep in all the time. You know, in the off season, we worked out at brutally 6 a.m. Don't miss those days, 3 times a week. So, yeah, I would say demanding, and you know, ultimately, it makes you a better person and kind of, you know, sets you up for the adult life.
I would say we could go hit the links sometimes, but you said that you guys play fast, and that's just not how I play out on the golf course.
Yeah.
Definitely try to throw back some recreational beverages and maybe take my time. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to work anytime soon, but hey, if you want to go chase some golf balls out in the weeds, I'm your guy. So
hey, when you're playing three sets of 18 holes, you know, a week, you're trying to get those done as quick as you can.
God, that'd be so long. I get tired after 9 holes of golf, but I mean, when it's the sport that you like, that's, I'm sure it was a heck of a time out there.
Yeah, it was. It was a blessing to be able to go there. I've always wanted to go to Mankato. I wanted to play basketball out there, but you know, chance wasn't presented. I wanted to play basketball at St. Cloud State, but wanted to get out of St. Cloud as well, just because I grew up there. So, you know, it was a blessing to be there for 3 years.
That's a perfect segue into what I was going to go into next, because you ended up transferring to St. Cloud State, which is where I eventually met you at UTVS.
Yeah.
How did that process work of transferring from Minnesota State, Mankato, to St. Cloud State? Like, why, I guess the why, and when did you kind of know that that was the right move for you?
Yeah, looking back, I will say that was one of the toughest decisions, just because I had such a good time in Mankato. It's fun to get away from home, you know, met a lot of great friends, loved the golf team. But, you know, I actually sat down with a professor there, and knowing that Mankato and St. Cloud State are rivalry schools, you know, to hear him say that your best option, if you want to be successful in this career, is to go to St. Cloud State, it was very, you know, eye-opening. And I remember going home over Thanksgiving break, and I've never seen the TV facility they had at St. Cloud, and Jesse Johnson gave me a tour, and, you know, right away in my heart, it was like, you want to make this become a reality, you know the answer. And, you know, right when I came back to Mankato, I talked to my coach, you know, decided right there and then transferred, you know, my senior year. And then had to finish off about a year and a half there at St. Cloud State. But to this day, that was probably one of the hardest decisions, but ultimately, you know, the best decision that, you know, I made.
Was there a good sense of, I'm going to use the word comfortability, knowing that you're kind of going home? I mean, you're starting off at a new school, going into a new program where you're kind of testing, you're putting your feet in the waters and testing everything out. But that sense of comfort when you knew that you were kind of going home, or you knew the area, so there was always that to lean back on?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask me that, but I guess that a lot of my friends didn't go there still, and obviously with TV broadcasting, it's a career that you perform in front of people, and something I haven't done before. It was like I'm living on a dream. I was constantly doubting myself, did I make the right move? You know, moving back home your senior year is something not every senior in college wants to do, so not that it was a burden, love my mom and dad, but...
Right.
Yeah, it was actually a lot tougher than I thought it would be, even though I lived, you know, I'm from the area.
You talked about how demanding playing a college sport was at Mankato. Talk about some of the things that you ended up doing at St. Cloud State from a TV broadcasting standpoint. How did that compare from by using the word demanding, how did those kind of compare of being a sports broadcaster in college to playing the college sport?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, going into St. Cloud, I knew that, you know, great TV, what's the word? Not a production guy, major. So going into it, there was a lot of competition I knew. So, you know, I really tried to find a place that I could excel in and I could get as much reps as I could. The people at St. Cloud State, you know, they taught me, Jeremy, you being one of them, Taylor Budge, of course, being the other, you know, how hard you have to work, you know, to be successful in this business. And it was really cool to see, you know, from day one, how much work went in. You guys are constantly in the newsroom, and, you know, it really becomes your life. And it actually helped a lot because of how much of my life was around golf, that when I, you know, switched over to broadcasting, it was like I traded golf in for broadcasting. So it was kind of like, you know, sometimes when you're done with sports, you kind of feel like you lose your identity because your whole life was that sport.
Right.
It was nice to kind of swap that, you know, with something I loved even more.
When you're sitting there interviewing athletes, and I know most of the people that go into sports broadcasting had been athletes at some point, whether it be high school or college athletes. Was there that sense of you that missed playing the sport when you were sitting there watching them kind of have all the fun of playing?
Absolutely. I think that first year working with St. Cloud State men's basketball, I thought, gosh, I got 2 years of eligibility left. You know, I could maybe try out with Lori Fish.
Yep.
You know, I'm just thinking of all these scenarios. But, yeah, absolutely. I don't miss, obviously, you know, the Killers when we go, you know.
I don't think anybody misses the Killers. No, nobody misses the Killers.
No, didn't miss that part, but absolutely. Game time comes Saturday night. You know, get the Hollenbeck Hall packed. Yeah, yep. I definitely missed it.
Ending up changing your role from being the athlete to the broadcaster, what were some of the things that you got involved in your college time to kind of prepare you for the job that you have right now?
Yeah, you know, when I first got to St. Cloud State, obviously, you know, there was people there lined up already, you know, with the big positions like St. Cloud State Hockey. You know, going into or transferring, you know, one of my biggest goals was to try to get that ice side reporter. It's a position they have, you know, with Fox Sports North, great on a resume. 2 months into it, I'm like, I got to get reps. I got to find a way to get confidence. So I thought, I'm going to find a sport that nobody wants to do. I can kind of make it my own, get as many reps as I can. And I found that with the basketball team at St. Cloud State, the men's team and the women's. So I spent that 5 months in that Hollenbeck Hall, 4 or 5 hours, and then editing afterwards. But, you know, looking back, it was really in those, I feel like those months that I just developed a confidence that you can't get really anywhere else. You can't read a book about it. You know, you can watch people do it. You can shadow as many people as you want. But until you get in front of the camera and constantly fail and, you know, learn how to get back up, I couldn't find a better way to learn learn the ropes.
And by getting all those reps, you gain your confidence. And that, I think that also is a big thing, whether being on TV, being on radio, you need to be able to get the reps to gain that confidence and just be comfortable in your own skin. And by doing that, I believe your last year at St. Cloud State, you achieved that goal that you set out for yourself and made it onto the St. Cloud State hockey broadcasts.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, I did after working with the men's team was I was like, what can I do this summer that I could work every single day? And I thought, you know, St. Cloud Rocks is in town. And I went to their owner, and I said, I would love to do anything with your media to try to get the word out, anything. And they said, you know what, if you want to do post-game interviews, we'd love to have you. So I spent all summer at that, you know, the rock pile doing interviews with, you know, a lot of the rookies. And that experience was just like the men's basketball one, that it built so much confidence that when I went into that interview for, you know, the ice side reporter, it wasn't the nerves and, oh, you know, the doubts. It was more so, you know, I worked so hard to get here. Whatever happens, happens.
So how big was getting an internship to get kind of getting, granted, the ice side reporter wasn't the overall professional job that you eventually have now, but how important was the internship to getting you to a spot where you wanted to get to?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I applied for so many internships and did not get one. So I went there, asked for an internship with the Rocks, totally accepted it. So blessed to have that opportunity. Ultimately got one with KVSC out in Mankato and got to work Vikings training camp. But internships, I would say, are huge just because you got to see what, you know, people who work full-time have to do every single day.
Yep.
I think I learned more what I didn't want to do in those internships, but I also learned, you know, how much of your time you have to sacrifice for this job. It's not a 9-to-5 job. And I learned that right away that, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to give your whole self to it. And if that was a problem, I knew I wouldn't be successful. But if you love it, at the ballpark is where you want to be.
Does the athletics background where maybe there isn't exactly a winner in golf every single time, but like, or a loser, but because obviously when you apply for internships and apply for jobs, it's going to take a while, and some people can feel discouraged sometimes. Did having that athletic background where, you know what, sometimes you're not always going to win every single time and it's okay to kind of see the gradual progression, did that help in kind of like not making you get too discouraged when you're applying for internships and the kind of the getting turned down kind of deal? Is that something that kind of helped, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I am probably one of the most competitive people there ever. So when internships are not putting me down, you know, I started doubting myself again. Like, is this right for me? Am I right for the job? But someone told me that summer that, you know, no one can be you. You're the only person that your personality, you know, your look, your knowledge. So if you can bring you to the table, you're not competing against anyone else. You're just competing against the person you were yesterday. And it sounds cliche, but that advice really changed my perspective in this career because I constantly compared myself to the people on ESPN, and I constantly compared myself to my, you know, peers at St. Cloud State, mm-hmm. thinking, am I going to be better than them or not? And at the end of the day, it's, you know, you got to bring to the table who you are, and everyone's different. That's the best part of sports broadcasting is you get to bring your own kind of unique flair, you know, your touch, and if the producer likes you, they like you. If they're looking for something else, they're looking for something else. But, you know, definitely it was discouraging, but I think it made me tougher.
I was going to say, of the people that I know that have been in sports broadcasting that I've met face-to-face, you definitely crack the top five of people that have one like the most personality that can just ooze onto the camera.
Yeah, you know, that we are taming that down a bit. If anything, it's the facial expression. You watch some of my interviews, those facial expressions, you could play a game on them. They get pretty crazy. we're trying to tame those down a little bit.
So kind of transitioning more into where you are today, you ended up getting the Ice-Side reporter job at St. Cloud State, getting some reps on Fox Sports North, which we all know that is a huge, huge ad for you. Talk to me about the process of getting to the Liberty Flame Sports Network. How did that all go down?
Yeah, like you said, Jeremy, getting that position with St. Cloud State Hockey, that was such a huge opportunity because St. Cloud State men's basketball, it was more so with radio. So this was like bringing everything up a notch. We had a producer, a director, so everything was it was real. And Brian Stanley worked with me a ton, and every game I felt like I got better and better and more confident. And I was like, where am I going to end up after this? Because everyone said, it's kind of hard to find that first job. And it was actually over Christmas break, and I thought, I might as well just start looking. It was on TVjobs.com, and I saw an opening for Liberty Flame Sports Network. The application was closed. So I'm like, I'm just going to send an email. And, that's lots of people have told me that even if an application is closed or even if you have an interest at, a network, feel free to still, contact them and say, hey, I'm interested in working here someday. You take a look at my reel, give me some pointers or, what I have to do to get, to be a potential hire. Would love the feedback. And, I sent him an email and said, hey, saw your job, opening, would love to hear more about it. And the next morning I got a call from him. A week from there, we did a FaceTime interview, flew me out here. Virginia's on the East Coast, Liberty University. Came out here, loved it. Didn't offer me the job though here, so I was like, gosh, I don't know, I don't think I got it. And then we landed in Minneapolis, and sure enough, he called me and offered me the job. And I have been out here for 2 years now, since March 15th. And I will tell you, just like at St. Cloud State, you learn something new in this industry. And I think the biggest thing is I've learned a lot through failure. And if I would have quit, every time I failed, I wouldn't be here. So, I'm better because of those failures, and it's only failure if you don't learn something from it. So, the biggest thing for me is I get to work with two guys, Rhett McGibbon and Matt Warner. They're the other two anchors, and two guys are so fun, have taken me under their wing, and I'm the third reporter out here. And we do a kind of a coaches show. It's called Game On every Thursday. It was broadcast at outlets across the nation. Different, 40 million households coast to coast. But the biggest thing I've got involved in is their sideline reporting. That's something I love and wanted to do since day one. And kind of came out here at the right time. Their Liberty football team transitioned to FBS football. We have Hugh Freeze now as our football coach, and then Liberty basketball made their way to NCAA tournament here Friday. Hope you have them on your brackets. And then baseball is doing really well. So, it really has just been a blessing.
I'll brown nose to St. Cloud State one last question, then we'll transition more into talking Liberty. At a professional sports network, how similar is it and how easy was the transition going from St. Cloud State to Liberty Sports Network you talked about how professional the broadcasts were from hockey and how professional the equipment and stuff is. How easy was that transition going from SCSU to the Liberty Flame Sports Network?
I don't know how I would have done it if it wasn't for St. Cloud State, because it is almost exactly identical. The stuff they have at St. Cloud State is top, top. They have the same exact, the stuff they have, the way we get to perform with, who is our color guy again? Jim Rich,
yeah, they're playing with play, yep.
Professional people, and it really helped with the transition. And we also use ENPS, Premier Pro. Yep. So everything UTPS, the TV station, had to offer was so much similar to what they had here. And that actually, a lot of that conversation happened in my interview. He asked, what do you edit on? What are you used to doing for your rundowns? And everything I experienced at St. Cloud State, got me the job at Liberty. I cannot say enough good things about St. Cloud State.
We'll try. I'll send a text to Jim Rich eventually down here. Once we get into the double digits of the episodes, maybe we'll try to get Jim Rich on here and see if
see if we can't
get him to chat about his career. I'm sure that would be a heck of a chat. So you're talking more about the sideline reporting with Liberty Sports Network. Some people might not necessarily know what all goes into that. Some people might think, oh, you just show up on the sideline and just ask a coach a question. What, for the people that don't really maybe get what all goes into sideline reporting, I mean, that's a full week's job of doing all your prep work and everything, right? There's a lot more stuff that goes into sideline reporting than just kind of showing up on game day.
Absolutely. You know, talking football, I usually start my notes on Monday. We'll have a talent meeting on Tuesday mornings. That'll consist of our producer, our color guy, our play-by-play, me, and then we'll have four, you know, of our desk guys there. We all come together for about an hour, and we talk about, you know, who we want to feature, you know, what are our main storylines. And what I do is I take the information I get from, you know, that meeting. And the sideline reporter's job is to always go a couple layers deeper.
Yep.
I don't want to do something that, you know, you can Google, a fan at home could just Google. So our job is to, my favorite part is to give you something, give the audience something that, you know, they don't know and they can't find. And also something that the color guy and play-by-play don't have. So my favorite thing is on Wednesdays, then I interview, or I'll call the away coach, and I'll talk to him, and I'll also talk to probably their quarterback and their linebacker. And then on Thursdays, I'll talk to our coach, our defensive coordinator, as well as our quarterback and, you know, another player. And my whole job and my whole philosophy on the sideline is I love to, you know, tell the stories people want to hear. You know, I stick to more of the human interest type stories. I love stats, but we got five guys already talking stats. And as a girl, and I like having a lot of fun. So I look for the fun stories, the more of the entertainment type stories to bring to the broadcast. But then, of course, you know, in those interviews, you know, you're looking for the keys of the game, looking to ask, those are the ones I kind of ask at halftime. And, you know, one thing I've learned, too, with football is that you build a lot of relationships. And the best advice I think I got from Laura Oikman was that you're going to go far in life if you can build relationships with people. And there was a lot of times that I had to kind of ask myself, is this worth, you know, breaking news? And, you know, you can either be a reporter that likes to break news or be a reporter that likes to build relationships and keep those bonds. And that was probably one of the biggest things I learned this year is that we had a lot of instances there was breaking news and I could have been like, yeah, I was the first person to report that. Kind of 100 tweets, lots of favorites. You know, but at the end of the day, the relationships you build with these athletes and these coaches mean so much more because you burn those bridges, you're not going to get those stories the next time. So, you know, I think that being here for a second year, those relationships grew, and you know, the more you get to know, you know, the players as kind of your friends and, you know, brothers, you feel for them, you want them to be successful. So it's so much more than just you know, a Saturday football game. There's so much. I would say I honestly spend probably about 7 hours to prepare for just a football game.
Do you feel like that is one of the differences being at a sports network versus being a sports reporter at a news station where do you guys get more access to these guys, this school, these coaches than the local news people out there where you know this school, these teams more than the local news people do?
Yeah, that is one of the benefits out here is that we're not kind of looked at as the media. Sometimes media is looked at as they're the bad guys. They want to break the news.
Yep.
So, yeah, that is one of the big positives out here. And you know, even with the news, though, you go in there and you kind of, you know, show yourself as this is who I am. I'm not a breaking news reporter. I'm here to, you know, tell good stories.
Yep.
And you build those relationships over time. You know, I see it that it can still happen from the news side, but absolutely, you know, this place says you still have to work with the athletic communications to, you know, get in contact with them. But, you know, very easy, very friendly. That's probably the best part of this job.
I'll let you reminisce a little bit here for your couple of years at Liberty. I'll give you a little bit to think on this one. Give me a top five. What are five of the things that have really stood out for you that you've done? Maybe stories or just kind of fun interviews, or what's maybe your top five of some of the things that you've done at Liberty that you've really enjoyed so far?
Okay. Hmm. That is a good one. Okay.
Because I know, I've seen how you posted a lot of stuff to social media. I remember, I think one of the ones I saw was there was like a camp out on the football stadium. You're just kind of going around having fun with everybody as they're camping out, getting ready for the game. So I think if that's not in the top five, we'll put that at six. Because that just, again, showed off your personality and how much fun you're just having with the job.
All right, Jeremy Klein, let me ask you this question first. The two things you hold from tree to tree with the rope, you call it a hammock or hammock?
A hammock.
Really?
Yeah. That might be the northern Midwestern. There's a lot of things I don't think I say right. I get told I say, like, my A's and E's are wrong all the time. So I don't know if I'm the best person to help you get that point proven, but.
I will say the biggest thing when I moved out here, and still to this day, it's gotten a little bit better, but obviously my Minnesota accent, has traveled with me here, and it sticks out like a sore thumb here, something I've, tried to get better at, but at the end of the day, sometimes you just gotta be yourself and,
just kind of have fun with it.
It's not going away anytime soon is what I'm saying, but back to your question, I think my favorite thing to do is to try to get the athletes to feel as comfortable as they can, to open up, to show the audience who they are. And the best way I found to do that is kind of do interactive interviews. So one of them I did was with our head coach, our basketball coach, Richie McKay. He always brags to me that he's a good shooter. And
and you with the basketball background probably hung with him.
Right. And so when someone's going to talk basketball, I usually will say, well, yeah, I used to play kind of two. And, I used to shoot the ball. I was a pretty good outside shooter, good jump shot. So he said, well, we'll have to play pig sometime. And so one of the interviews we did was it was called Flames Fill in the Blank. I asked him five questions. Whoever won pig asked the other person five questions. That was something that was fun. He ended up kicking my butt. I don't think he missed a shot. I missed too many. But another thing I did actually recently was former running back, NFL running back, Rashad Jennings, Dancing with the Stars winner a couple years ago. He taught me how to salsa. That was very entertaining. And also got to kind of hear about, his transition from the NFL to Dancing with the Stars and kind of how he's using his platform now. Because a lot of times, usually sit-down interviews, not that the athlete won't, open up, but I found that you get them doing what they like to do, they tell their story better. And for me, I'm trying to find the best ways I can to get these people to open, or get these players to open up. Mm-hmm. And we did. It was called Gilville, the one that you referenced on the field. Every night or every Friday night before game day, they'd have people camping on the field. So I did it, and I'll tell you, it was an experience, and I will never sleep on a football field again.
I can't imagine that it was too fun. I'm assuming a turf football field, which means there's like probably cement or something underneath that. Like, can't be great.
I should have brought a hammock.
You probably should have. I don't know if you would have. Maybe you could have probably hung it in between the goalposts. I don't know how you would have gotten like up and down from there, but there you go. That would have probably been a lot better than sleeping on the probably like 30 or 40 yard line wherever you're at.
Hey, one more question: have you ever put catcher's gear on before?
Yes.
So that was one of my biggest things in baseball season last year. One of the interviews I did was, I was like, "Is it really that hard to throw with all that stuff on?" So that was the one I did.
Maybe. I mean, catchers make it look pretty easy. Like they just come up firing.
I'm telling you, this is embarrassing to admit on here, but I could not even get the ball past the pitcher's mound, and I tried seven times, and it wasn't even close.
Oh my goodness! With the catcher's equipment on.
And then I had to bring some competition to the interview, so we timed each other how fast to get put it on, because you see how fast they take it off when they have to go up to bat. So I really wanted to see how hard it was, and he beat me by about 2 minutes. So
now with some of these more fun, I'm going to call them stories. The more fun stories and the more interactive things that you're doing with these athletes, when the camera stops recording, what kind of reactions are you getting from these guys? Based on. Do they, when they're done with the story, they kind of look at you just like, oh my God, like that was so fun, like, and have a great appreciation? Because the same way, if when you're doing it, when you're broadcasting and it's more just that sit down interview, they might not always be appreciative, or it might just be that cookie cutter, hey, let's get these few bites and everybody moves on with their day. How are the reactions from the guys when you have fun with them on camera instead of making them out to be just the athlete robot who gives you the cliche answer?
Right. Yeah. No. That's part of the reason I keep doing it is because of the feedback I get back that they seem to open up more and they're like, I forgot that we were even on camera doing it. And that's the goal is to get them to forget that they're on camera. But one second, I was gonna say something. I know with the Jonathan Embry piece, for all of my pieces I do, I always do a pre-interview. So I never want to go into something cold turkey being like, they have no idea what's coming. Of course, I'm not going to give them my exact questions because then they're going to go home that night and memorize them. But I always want to make sure they feel as confident and comfortable knowing what's going to happen, what's going on. So I'll always do a pre-interview midweek. If we're going to shoot it on Saturday, on a Tuesday, I'll go meet them. For a cup of coffee and kind of tell them what's going to go on. And then one thing that's helped me is that to our camera guys, I used to say, all right, 3, 2, 1 and start. Well, when you're saying 3, 2, 1, not only are you tensing up, but the player's tensing up as well because he's not used to being on camera.
Right.
So we've done this new thing is that when we get to the field, we're going to roll. We're going to always be rolling and we're going to make it as natural and most, real as we possibly can. And that, I think, has really helped, not only, the player, but also for me.
I want to transition a little bit back towards the sidelining and being a part of a live game broadcast. Do you still get that fire and that passion and that, you kind of get not necessarily the butterflies, but the goosebumps of, everything's live. You're at a game, you're a part of the broadcast instead of just taping something for a later date, or do you still get that fire in you to kind of be doing sideline and being a part of the live game broadcast?
Absolutely, and I will attest back to St. Cloud State that the first thing I ever did was St. Cloud State football game, and that was live. So, being put in those kind of thrown into the fire in these live games is the best thing I could ask St. Cloud State to do because you get used to doing taping things and redoing them 100 times. Live broadcast, you're not expected one try and that's all you have. So, from the get-go, I've learned the pressure of it, but, just like in sports, usually pressure brings out the best of you. And I'll tell you, every game, every kickoff, I feel the same nerves I used to feel in tip-off for a basketball game. But my dad always says, if you're not nervous, you don't care enough about it. Or you must just be that good. One of the two. But I always take those nerves and, take it as a positive thing. But, yeah, absolutely. You don't want to think, this is live. If I screw up, if I go blank, what do I do? It's more so you kind of feed off that energy that it's live.
Yep.
And I think it brings out actually the best in you.
Some of the people that probably have some nerves right now, depending on when you're listening to this recorded podcast, the Liberty Flames men's basketball team playing in the NCAA tournament, a 12 seed. Who's the 5 seed that they got this week?
Mississippi State
out of the SEC. How involved were you with that team as they got ready to go to the big dance, depending on when you're listening to this? But describe how involved you were with that team and how exciting that was that they are making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Richie McKay, the men's basketball coach over here, he was actually one of the first people I met. I actually met him the second day on the job and have not met a coach like him before. One of the most personable relationship type guys ever met. I mean, goes out of his way to say thank you to the media, for supporting his team. You don't see that very often, but
right.
He used to actually coach with Tony Bennett with Virginia, and he picked up the Pac-Line defense, obviously from him, and he's kind of, built that around his program. He came here 4 years ago, but last year they lost the championship game in the Big South on a buzzer beater. So I know that since that day, they've been, wanting to get back. But they joined a new conference, the ASUN Conference, this year. And, those Florida teams, boy, they are talented. And, every team that came in, it was a close one. They had so many athletes. And, I got we played Virginia Tech in our, it was a hurricane relief expedition game. But, the basketball they have down here is, top notch.
Yep.
And I learned so much, though, from Richie. It's funny, he'll call me after games and, ask me how I'm doing, what I'm trying to get better at. So not only is he trying to better his team, but he's trying to better the media. And I'm like, Coach, I will always remember you calling me and telling me this. But, I couldn't ask for a better coach, a better team to advance to the tournament. Jeremy, I'm telling you, I hope you have them circled at least twice on your board.
Wow.
I'm upsetter for, first of all, Mississippi State. And then they're going to play Virginia Tech. And Buzz Williams, that's Richie's good buddy. And I think they're going to upset them, too. I think they might lose to Duke. But, hey, I got them going pretty far, and I hope you do, too, and I hope the listeners do as well.
Wow, there goes one of my fair or foul statements for our later segment. But, I thought they would go. I got them over Mississippi State for sure, and then we'll kind of see. I'm imagining my bracket will be probably busted as much as any other human being in America's will. But since you're covering so much college basketball and a team that's in the NCAA tournament, how do you feel about your bracket going in? Do you feel like you got a good handle on the knowledge of the college basketball world now that you're kind of in it a little bit more?
Yeah. You know, one thing I was kind of afraid of when I started broadcasting was, you know, not that it's a female thing, but you'd watch ESPN, but you want, my brothers would know everything about everybody. And I always, that was one of the doubts I've always had was, gosh, I don't know that much as I thought I did. But one thing I've learned, especially from being here, is you learn as you go. And the amount of knowledge, like you said, I know now and this tournament, just being around it for a season, you know, you learn, like I said, as you go. And if I could say anything to anyone out there, that if you don't know, you know, one of the things I did was I listened to Colin Cowherd or Clay Travis every morning just to try to better my knowledge. But, of course, with Liberty Basketball, they've played a bunch of great non-conference games. They played UCLA. They played Wake Forest, you know, Georgetown.
Yep.
Getting to go to those schools, that was, you know, that's been a really unique opportunity.
Still being young in this profession, only a couple of years as a professional sports broadcaster, what are some things that you want to grow in this industry or get better at, or what are some things that you're really trying to work on to make yourself better in this industry?
Yeah, a lot. I could name things forever, but I think one of the best things is I'm trying to be a better storyteller. You know, you hear these great interviews from coaches, you know, in the midweek, and you got to think, you know, what's the best, what's the most important information? And to me, I think everything's amazing, but I only got 30 seconds, so
right.
I'm trying to become a better storyteller, obviously. And I'm trying to think of other ways to, you know, get athletes to open up, because one thing you'll learn is some people say athletes all answer the same, and that's something I have found.
Sometimes,
after
yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I really want to, you know, put my career as, I want to try to get the best I can out of other people and try to share their story. So maybe that story would help, you know, someone else listening at home. But, you know, obviously, too, I got the chance to host our ASUN track and field championships a few weeks ago, and that was fun. So I've done sideline, which I loved. I did some radio hosting. But, you know, there's so many different things you can do in TV broadcast that, you know, I kind of want to take a dip in and experience other things I can do. Also, I'm trying to think what else. I've done basketball, I've done baseball, and I've done football. A little bit of hockey, but that was another thing. I want to try to get as many sports as I can, because the more sports you know, the more sports you can report for, you know, the more opportunities you can get. But you know, I'm learning, Jeremy, every day.
Yep.
I work with two guys that have been in this profession for, you know, 10 more years than I have. And you know, that was hard for me when I first moved out here, especially being competitive like I am, you know, comparing myself constantly to them, that I finally had to realize that I'm not them. And, you know, experience helps you so much in this industry because it's a confidence thing. And when you start building your confidence, you know, the sky's the limit. So that's something, too, that I really want to try to find myself in this industry, and how I can, you know, kind of make my, you know, separate myself from the pack, not, you know, climbing the ladder-wise, and more so kind of make myself a little bit different, I would say.
I asked Alec this the same, and I'm probably going to ask this question to every person that we try to have on here, because I feel that the storytelling, as you just kind of alluded to, the storytelling in this industry is so important on your writing ability and telling these people stories, because it's not just about the highlights, the stats, the box scores, and knowing every single sport in the world. Your perspective on how important just pure storytelling is in this industry.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at what these guys and girls have to go through on a daily basis, how much sacrifice they have to give up, and you know, some of the stories the guys tell me of where they, you know, started and where they are now is really, it really motivates me to keep going. And it's funny to say, but for how much this demands out of them is that I think it really helps people at home who are going through similar things, and you can relate it to not just sports, but all areas of your life. And if you only touch the surface level, you're only touching other people at the surface level. But when you kind of start tugging at people's, you know, heartstrings and start getting those things, those little details that you want, you know, get normally, I think that makes such a big difference because, like you said, you know, it's so much more than just the stats at the end of the game. That these are real people we're talking about with real stories, with real sacrifices. That, you know, as an athlete, you know the sacrifices, but when you get to the professional level and you start dealing with wives and kids, and it's just so much more people involved. It's more than just about them. And you know, the things they've told me that they've learned through their journey, you know, I've applied to my own life, and I hope that, you know, their stories can really help other people, because sports are so much more than, you know, the end result of the game, who wins or loses.
It's absolutely, absolutely right. Could not have put it better myself. Before we put a bow on this, we're going to let you actually do what your job is. Talk about sports.
Okay.
Sticking with the down-the-line baseball corny theme, going into our segment, fair or foul, probably going to stick to these a lot more to the NCAA tournament with it being March Madness, and you kind of already my statement was going to be that Liberty gets past the first round, fair or foul, and I'm highly assuming you're going to think that that's a fair statement because you got them going to the Sweet 16, apparently.
Home run. That's a home run. Yeah, fair. Okay, that's fair.
Sweet 16.
I got him going to Elite Eight. What am I thinking? I got him going to Sweet 16, matching up with Duke.
So quickly, if they make that Sweet 16, or even in this first round, do you guys have people at the game to go cover them?
We do. We unfortunately start our conference baseball this weekend as sideline reporter. I unfortunately cannot lose, but our best guy, my boss Matt Warner, is there. So I'm the third. We have two anchors. I'm the reporter, so we always will send our best. So Matt Warner, our best guy, he's out there. Actually left this morning with the team, and they practice tomorrow, so great opportunity for him.
Gotcha. Okay, sticking with this, and I'll let you kind of explain your thought process on whether you think it's fair or foul. Fair or foul, there's going to be a big, big upset in the first round. I'm talking 16 through 13 seed is somebody is getting out of the is winning in the first round, fair or foul?
Absolutely fair. One team that got it. Have you watched Belmont?
I watched Belmont in that first four game, and they looked pretty good. I heard a lot about the UC Irvine Anteaters, that they're pretty good.
Yes.
I would choose them just because of their nickname alone. Like, Anteaters is so great.
All right. See, there's a storyline. Them also, I'm looking at my bracket right now.
Perfect.
Hold on. Even though Minnesota, you know, born, those Iowa teams, Iowa State, I was watching them the other night. They're good.
Yep.
I got them going. Where do I got them going? I got them losing to Kentucky.
Kentucky's
you know,
pretty good.
You know what team that I really want to see go for is that Tennessee team.
Tennessee?
Yeah. They're playing for a lot more than just themselves. Yeah, I like what they're doing. I like their coach, too, but I got Virginia beating them. And as you know, the person I have winning on my bracket, hopefully it's not a buster like last year, but I got Tony Bennett's team, Virginia, winning it all.
Interesting, because everywhere that I've looked in America, seems like everybody's taking the Blue Devils because Zion is great. But I'm the original Duke homer ever since I've been a little kid. So I'm trying to figure out a way of making my bracket different so that I don't end up being like 75% of America. But Tony Bennett's team also looks really good. Virginia can really shoot this year, I think.
Oh, yeah. Hey, fun fact, too, with your Duke Devils is that J.J. Redick, he's about 45 minutes from where I live. He's from Roanoke, played at a small Christian school. So, yeah, there's a little history with the Devils. But, yeah, no, Virginia, I'm trying to think of what that final score would be because they hold teams low.
They like to play defense. Love to play defense, Tony Bennett's teams.
And not only that, but what their pack line is their efficiency. They'll hold teams to – they try to get them out of their rhythm quick. So they'll go down and they'll pass the ball around. They're very patient offensively. And they'll come back and they'll make teams, throw up a quick shot, and now they're back on defense. And that's something that I know Richie McCain here at Liberty tries to, you know, instill here. And all of the away coaches would say that, you know, we got to be patient with the ball, because if we're going to chuck up our first shot, there we are playing defense again. So defense wins championship games. That's why Virginia's going all the way. You might want to change your bracket here, Glenn.
I got the crazy bracket, the one that I don't assume any of this is going to happen, but you always got to love the 5-12 matchups. I got Murray State in one in my far out bracket going to the Final Four because of Ja Morant. He's such a talent, and you'll get to see him play the big name teams now. That's my crazy, that's my big upset, my big pick where they'll be the Loyola that gets to the Final Four would be Murray State.
Hey, I like that storyline. That would be a storyline I would love to cover. Yeah, I have Michigan State, too, going pretty far.
Okay, Cassius Winston, I believe, is got a pretty good – Michigan State does look pretty good. Michigan State usually has a pretty good team. This kind of turns us into the next one. Fair or foul, looking at the Final Four, your projected Final Four, fair or foul, there will be two teams from the same conference that make the Final Four. So, albeit two teams from the ACC or two SEC, even Big Ten if you want to go that far, but – fair or foul, there will be two teams from the same conference. Fair? Who do you think that ACC? Okay.
Yeah, well, Duke, Virginia, North Carolina.
Powers.
All three. I mean,
Powers.
Power, yeah. That's what that is. I don't know if you watched their conference tournament at all, but that was a fun to watch. You didn't know
I'm a big Duke guy. I had to have watched the ACC tournament.
And with Florida State knocking off Virginia, I did not see that coming.
Yep, you got Florida State. I think Virginia Tech is... got a pretty good squad there, but the SEC, you can't count them out. Kentucky, John Calipari's got a good squad there. You already talked about Tennessee. I mean, you never know with some of those other conferences. I mean, people get upset. I do, too, also think that we're going to have two teams from the same conference in the Final Four. I think that this is the year that, I don't know, it might be the ACC, it might be the SEC. Who knows? Maybe the Big 12 shakes up. Kansas and, like, a Texas Tech gets in. You never know.
That would throw some brackets off. That's always fun to hear.
You know, who would throw the brackets off is if the Gophers make a run. I feel very confident in saying that the Gophers are not making a run in this bracket.
One thing I will say about Minnesota fans, and maybe it's just my father, but when they're going good, gosh, he called me that first game they won in the tournament. Bobby, they're going to win the conference tournament. I'm like, Dad, they're not. And then he called, you know, the next day.
They knocked off Purdue, and Purdue is a really good basketball team.
So he's riding high with them, but then, you know, the next game, they're losing by 20. He goes, gosh, they're terrible. That's one thing. Minnesota fans, they're high when they're high, and when they're low,
That is every Minnesotan I've ever ran into that. They love their team so much when they're doing good, and when their team is bad, they just think that they suck.
Absolutely.
That is a Minnesotan to a T. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it. I think we're gonna wrap it up here a little bit. I want to give you the last bit to kind of say whatever you're kind of feeling on the sports broadcasting field and industry. How much you're loving it, and just kind of what your thoughts are early on in this industry.
How do I say it? Going into this, the first professor told me that it's the most competitive industry you'll ever go into. It's hard to get into. Everything was so doubting, and I'm so happy that I endured and just kind of took one day at a time, you know, one sport at a time, and kept with it, because there's so much good has come out of it. I've met so many great people, built so many great relationships, and, you know, learned so much about myself that, you know, sometimes you go to work and you have a bad day while broadcasting, your bad day is, you know, for the world to see. And you can either take that and better yourself from it, or you can, you know, fold on yourself. But, you know, the biggest thing I learned from moving away from home, you know, kind of getting out of my comfort zone, not only on TV, but obviously, you know, kind of trying to chase this dream, is that you put your mind to something, you work hard to make it happen, you're good to people, you're going to go a long way, and you can make yourself, you know, be who you are, not, you know, someone who you want to be, but, you know, be different. Yeah, I think that there's so much room for so many different kind of sports broadcasters that don't be limited because one producer didn't like you, or, you know, you didn't get one, you know, one, two, three job applications, they didn't go through, five, six, seven. You know, you're passionate about it, keep knocking on the doors, because the right one's going to open. And, you know, that's one thing I tell all the students here at Liberty, is that don't let one person's opinion get you down, because I'll tell you, you want something to happen, it's more fulfilling at the end of it because you work so hard to make it happen. And that's definitely my story, that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for, you know, me saying that, you know, this is for me, and, you know, I'm going to find a way, and no matter what someone says, I'm going to keep going. It's really paid off, and I think, you know, not only on the professional, you know, spectrum of it, but, you know, personally, end of the day, that's just a job. It's made me a better person in the end.
Love it. Gotta love it. Gotta love the passion. Gotta love the fact that it sounds like you're having so much fun. Still having fun doing the job. I appreciate the time so much, Bobby. It was so great catching up with you. Next winter, you might be getting a text from me of just trying to get out of this frozen tundra for a little bit. So beware of that. Yeah. Maybe it won't be frozen in Virginia. So just keep your eye on your phone there. Yeah. Remember, everybody, you can hear this podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Breaker. You can catch the Down the Line with Jeremy Klein podcast on all of those places. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
This is Down the Line with Jeremy Klein.